Good morning. As we know, today is January 5th, Gurudeva's birthday, Jai Gurudeva. It's also the 32nd birthday of Hinduism today. You may not have recalled that. 32 years old. It's getting up there. Ready for a midlife crisis or something pretty soon. Just joking, but it's interesting. I'm not sure if it's true in all religious organizations, but in ours it takes 36 years to really get something established. Sounds like a long time. 36 years. Gaurava is in its 38th year now. Oh, it's well established. We're honoring the 36th anniversary of Gurudeva's vision of Lord Shiva on Sanmarga this year. 36 years ago, 1975 was Gurudeva's vision. So somehow it's three 12-year cycles, two 18-year cycles. Somehow it's a magical number in our work that 36 years, something is really solid. Had an interesting talk with some of our members recently and about their children, and Saravana Swami was talking to some of the youth themselves and found that it's a common trait among youth when they think of being a member, being part of the fellowship, that they look around at the mission members, and to them the mission members are the group, the fellowship. And though that's true, it's secondary. And an analogy is useful to private music lessons, whatever instrument it is. You have private lessons once a week, you're studying. Are you focused on all the other students? No, you may not even know who they are, right? You're not focused on the teacher's other students. You may meet them at a recital or meet them in certain gatherings, but you're focused on two things. You're focused on getting as much out of you as you can out of your lesson. Why? Because you're paying for it, or your parents are, and practicing. Those are the two things you're focused on if you're studying music with a private teacher. So Gurudeva's teachings are the same. That's the point of focus, is when teaching is going on, to absorb it, and otherwise we're practicing what we've already learned. We're focused on our practice. And we published Gurudeva's writings on sadhana in the January issue of Hinduism Today, so I was reviewing them. And it was interesting to see that Gurudeva used the word sadhana a couple of ways in the general sense of regular practice, serious practice, with a goal of actually changing oneself. But also, he sometimes used the word sadhana to refer to the daily vigil. So you must do your sadhana. And in the context, it was clear he meant your daily vigil. That gives us a clear idea of how Gurudeva was looking at it. And the most important part of our practice, clearly, is personal worship on a daily basis, ideally at the same time. The same time is very helpful. Sometimes in modern life that's not possible, but when it is, it makes a big difference. The monastics as a group have their own vigil from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. That's our hour and a half vigil on a daily basis, as I'm sure all of you know. It's at the same time, and it's interesting. The mind just finds it easy to sit there for an hour and meditate from 6 to 7 in the morning, but if you were to try and meditate from 2 to 3 in the afternoon or 5 to 6 in the afternoon, it would be harder. Somehow, because it's at the same time every day, your mind, habit mind, is used to it. Makes it a lot easier. Gurudeva defines sadhana on our rededication as to walk the path of sadhana, personal change through self-effort with the Kailasa Parampara as my guide. When we talk about change, and you think about it, what are we trying to change? Because from the deepest level, the deepest teachings, there's nothing to change, right? We go within ourselves deep enough and we find a part of us which has always been God. That's never changed. Gurudeva describes it that way. Find that part of you which has never changed. Well, clearly that's not what we're talking about when it comes to change. We're talking about our outer nature. And in that regard, I often explain the three phases of the mind, instinctive, intellectual, and intuitive, when I'm presenting things. Of course, you know them, so I won't belabor you with that explanation. But, of course, it's the instinctive and the intellectual mind, and what goes along with it, the ego and its pride, that we're trying to change, trying to make it more spiritual, more like the soul nature. And it's only because our soul is inside a physical body that we have an instinctive and an intellectual mind. Otherwise, we wouldn't have anything we needed to change. We'd just be fine the way we were. There's a number of concepts that help us remember what we're trying to change or perfect in our instinctive and intellectual nature. The yamas are a particularly useful list, especially for children and youth, the yamas. For those who are more advanced in Gurudeva's teachings, he's written up certain principles in the form of vows or vratas. So I thought I'd read the Ahimsa Vrata because it has more in it than we all may remember. That's why it's good to review these things, these principles, on a yearly basis, because we forget things. We forget some of the details. And it can be reviewed in the spirit of, is there something in here that reminds me of something in myself I really should try and change? That's the spirit of it. Ahimsa Vrata. Non-injury in thought, word, and deed, known in Sanskrit as ahimsa, is the cardinal virtue and is essential to living the Sanatana Dharma and progressing on the path of sadhana. It's defined, ahimsa is defined in Nandinada Sutras 56 through 65 in detail. Ahimsa means not killing Shiva's divine creatures, including bugs and rodents, when they do not threaten life, health, or safety. Additionally, devotees are admonished to not harm living beings in all ways, including not beating them physically, abusing them mentally or emotionally, including verbally should they misbehave or disobey, but guiding all through the gentle, thoughtful principles of positive discipline. This extends most importantly to the members of the devotee's family, including his or her spouse and children. Finally, there is emphasis on the importance of not verbally criticizing others behind their backs, but maintaining one's own dignity as well as that of others by praising them abundantly at every opportunity and avoiding or politely walking away from conversations that descend into such degrading social practices as backbiting and gossip. To this end, the following Ahimsa Mahavrata is provided for the devotee to sincerely vow to uphold. I believe in you, the one supreme God, Lord Shiva, and the gods of our Saivite faith, and in the Saiva Dharma. In love and trust, I recognize your goodness in providing for my every material and spiritual need. Accept the principle of Ahimsa as the cardinal virtue, the highest commandment of the Sanatana Dharma, and the method by which I may acknowledge my compassion, my karuna, for all living beings. It's an act of dedication and an expression of my striving to see God Shiva everywhere and in all beings. I am resolved this day to uphold the threefold principle of non-injury in thought, word, and deed, by not killing living creatures who do not pose a threat to life, health, or safety, not physically or verbally, abusing my spouse or children or any living being, and avoiding the degrading social practices of backbiting and hurtful gossip. Resolve this day to continue the regular practice of interacting with my family, friends, and associates according to the wise principles of positive discipline. I remember a few years ago talking to one of our devotees, and he was kind of discouraged because he recently had gotten kind of upset with his children, there's four of them, and spoke out harshly. So he was all discouraged and feeling he wasn't doing well at upholding Gurudev's teachings. Obviously, taking it very seriously. So I pointed out to him that it's unrealistic to think you're supposed to be perfect. It doesn't say that anywhere in Gurudeva's teachings. You can read them all very, very carefully. Gurudeva never says you should be perfect. Always uphold everything perfectly. That's the goal. He doesn't say that. He says what? He says we should change, right? Personal change. Change in this case means improve. That's a realistic goal. Being perfect isn't realistic. So as long as we're improving, taking these points seriously, no gossip, no backbiting, not speaking harshly to our children, as long as we're improving, then we should be content. Otherwise, we're going to get discouraged. And improvement is seen over a period of years, not a period of weeks or days. We need to look back a few years ago, and if in some of these traits that we're trying to harness in the instinctive and intellectual mind, we've made good improvement, then we know we're on the right track. If we haven't made any improvement, we're not taking it seriously enough. That's the idea.